CliffCentral.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Of course, if you hear those Tibetan singing bowls, you know it is time for Beyond Ears and Eyes here on Cliff Central with me, Liesl Tom, and Shemaine Harris. I'll give Shemaine half a second to say hello just now. I just want to deal with the important stuff, like saying hello to Palesa Mabuye, our controller. Always important. You know, if you press the wrong button, we are screwed. Then, of course, if you want to send us a WhatsApp, you can send it to 079-748-2090. We'd love to hear from you. Now it's your turn, Shemaine.
Thank you, Liesl. So just by the way, you can also reach us on our Twitter accounts. What's yours again?
I'm at Liesl Tom.
And I'm at Shemaine H. So, yeah, just, you know, hook up with us on there. So information today is going to probably make you go, again, those two crazy girls, what are they thinking? And, you know, that makes me so happy if you think that, because that means that you're probably going to hear something that you're going to enjoy, even though you don't yet believe it. So our guest today is a she does past life regressions. She does soul retrievals. She's a medium of both humans and animals, or for both human souls and animals. She's had her shamanic rites done, or she does shamanic healing. She does entity clearing, ayahuasca, which is the Israeli, what is it,
say
the Egyptian
that word
one
again?
No, so I'm gonna let her say it, which is Egyptian in origin. And then she also does house clearings, people. So we have like a fountain of information here, and I mean, I don't know how we're going to do this conversation. I'm petrified.
We are going to stick to the topic, Shemaine. Our topic today.
Welcome, Janine.
Hey,
this is Janine Chavot.
Thank you very much for inviting me on the show.
You're welcome. Janine Chavot, you were going to say, Liesl, our
topic
today.
I was going to say we're going to stick to the topic, which is
two.
Past life regression, past lives, and then soul retrieval. And yes, Shemaine, it is two, but they are so closely linked that I do not think that you can talk about soul retrieval if you don't understand the basics of past lives. Am I right, Janine?
Well, yes, because I, when I do a soul retrieval, I first require the clients to do one or two past lives so that I can see that everything runs smoothly. And yes, they are very interlinked. But soul retrieval is very different in that we collect soul fragments that you have lost through trauma in either past lives or in the current time. So whichever goes across all times when we do that.
Janine?
Yeah.
I want to jump into past lives, but you've just said something that really makes me scared. You said they have to do two or three regressions so you can see that things run smoothly. What do you mean by that? What can happen if it doesn't run smoothly?
No, it's just I had a client one day who was also in the industry who said that she kind of understood, because a lot of the stuff is soul contracts. So she said that she understood all of that. And when we did the process, which was supposed to be 3-4 hours long, it took me 7 hours, and I wasn't extremely happy about that, because every time I brought up something which should have been easily passed through or released, she couldn't release it because we were arguing then about
theology basically.
Yes, during the session, I mean, it was crazy. So yeah, so since then I say to clients, I would like them to do, you know, if the first one goes smoothly, I don't have an issue to then jump straight the next one into a soul retreat. Okay. But not on a first session, no.
So for you to retrieve the soul fragments. You must have lost it somewhere, obviously. Where does one lose them?
Well,
how often does one lose them?
Quite often in a lifetime, because there'll be like, you know, like say you meet your husband or boyfriend or something, you say, my heart will forever be yours. So you're actually giving that person a little part of your heart.
Mm.
Okay. Then you could have like accidents or...
Wait. So that thing when you stand in front at the pulpit and they say, I will forever, and you make that promise of through sickness and health till death do us part. So that sounds like grounds for, because you know how many people get divorced these days. Hello, hand up in the air.
It absolutely does. And if they meant it at that time, but I think they're all too nervous to mean it at that particular point in time.
Okay.
But when you are really standing in front of somebody and you feel that love and you say, my heart will forever be yours, I've got to go back to that past life and collect that little fragment from that person. Then I've got to go back, and if you've had like an accident or you died or, you know things like that happen through past times as well, then I've got to go and collect all those fragments from all those different situations and then bring them back to a safe place for you to collect through the soul retrieval.
And this is past lives and the current one?
Yes. Okay. When I do a soul retrieval, what comes up. I mean, it can be past or current. It's both.
We often say, living in today's life, we often say, that was a past life. But then it's just 10 years ago, in a current lifetime. How does that... Is it possible
that you did exactly the same thing in a past life? That is very often I find that's exactly how it works. You're doing things. I mean, if you meet somebody that you totally don't like, you know it's past life related. If you meet somebody that you absolutely love from the first moment, it's also past life related. You know, the ones that you don't like so much have obviously done something not so nice to you. So.
And the ones you feel like a... Okay.
Are just people. Those are just beings that have, crossed your path, and they just are what they are,
So if we look at the human soul, kind of the imagery that came to my mind, and I know it's not exactly spot on, but if you look at it like a plate, and this plate, little fragments broke off.
Sure.
How many pieces can be left behind before your soul is no longer? I mean, obviously we're not intact.
So what I say to people, probably about more than half the plate could be gone. So what I say to people is like you're walking sort of with half a head and, half an arm, and the one arm is chopped off at the elbow and no leg on the other side and the other one's chopped off at the knee. That on a soul level, that's what you look like.
Word. And you go retrieve these fragments.
That's correct.
How do you do that? And how do you, where do you keep them?
So I go and collect them where my guides show me to go and collect them. And then I take them to a safe place that when I do the journey of the soul retrieval, they're actually in a safe room there, which we then take the client to that room, and then they go and collect them from that room. So if you want to put it in a room, it's not really a room, but just to, for terms, think of a better
space.
Way. Yes.
Are you saying that you do this before you meet the client?
Yes.
Where you go got to go there, quickly tripping up there, sure. Got to go to Chickers, pop in at the post office, at the neighbors, I saw that in the yard. So
that's exactly right.
When Liesl comes, I'm just going to keep this here.
That's right. Until she comes. I normally do that 4 days before they come for a soul retrieval. I go and collect all the fragments, see that they're safe, and then when they come in, then we do the whole full process and go and collect them and integrate them.
What do these fragments look like?
They generally look like sparkly, a little bit somewhat different colors. If it's been a real trauma, because soul cannot be harmed or hurt. So it is taken out or it leaves at that point of the trauma, the shock, the whatever it is. So it generally stays in its original form. But sometimes when I get there, the colors are a little bit off because, sometimes if it's been many, many lifetimes. But they generally stay what a soul looks like. It's like
sparkly,
a sparkly. Yes. Some of them have different colors, but no, generally yes.
So can you get all the bits together in one lifetime?
No.
Okay.
No. I generally, for a soul retrieval, I'll go and collect anything between 2 and 6. 6 is the most I've ever been allowed to collect.
How many can you do in one lifetime? How many retrievals can you do in one lifetime?
Well, I suppose as many as you like. I mean, like the one client I had, we did about 4 or 5 for her, and then she was starting to do stuff via other people or for other people, her family members. And that's when I thought, okay, maybe all hers are back now, you know. So, because there's always little pieces. But I don't know if it was just the process or if she was, you know, if there was no more for her to collect.
Hmm. And where are these pieces? Are some of them... I mean, have you found one in Atlantis? Or
yes, I have.
You're going nuts. Again.
Where
you're
I think Atlantis? yes, yes. So yes, I go to Hells of the Earth. I go to past lives, to lovers. You know, wherever. Bomb blasts, whatever. Wherever.
Have you ever found like an entity or a demon play with someone's fragment, little shiny
light?
Yes,
sometimes I have to get it back from them. So I have to sort of talk to them, negotiate. Sometimes I've got to give them something back, sometimes not. You know, sometimes I just...
What do you have to give back? I mean...
Something in return.
Like
in
what?
Return.
Why would you negotiate with a demonic entity?
Well, often I don't, but sometimes you do.
Okay, all right. So what would you give?
So I don't know, something that would... appease them to give back that soul fragment to me, whatever it is, be it not anything of mine. I mean, not I wouldn't go, here's a part of my soul. No, not at all. So whatever, be it a bunch of flowers, be it whatever. You
so
know,
there must
anything,
be an exchange.
It depends what they ask. Yeah, it depends what they ask.
Okay, what's the worst that they would ask for? Or could ask for
they have asked for parts of my heart to replace another heart, and I'm sorry, I won't do that.
And you're like, nope, get out of here.
Nope, exactly.
So are there ever moments where you go like, look, I can't do this, girl, you on your own, that I'm not going to get that.
Never,
you never
ever,
walked
ever,
away
ever,
from a
never,
situation.
Never, 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 never.
All right, so what makes it leave? What makes our soul particles leave?
Well, when we have a car accident, or, yeah, I mean, in today's terms, car accident, or, you know, you have an operation, it's that shock, or, as I mentioned earlier, one of my clients, she was sitting on the floor, and her mother at that moment went outside with a basket of washing to go and hang the washing up. And at that point in time, she thought that her mother was never coming back and started abandonment issues. So that part of that soul fragment I had to collect when she was 8 months old.
Wow.
You know, from the mother, that was, well, she just left, but the mother was the cause of it. So I had to go and collect that from that situation over there to give it back to her. You know, to reintegrate it.
Now, that's something that happens to all of us when we are babies. Our mothers leave, whether it's to go hang up the washing or to go, you know, to work or whatever.
Sure.
Do you think or do you suppose this client of yours might have had previous abandonment issues and then her mother leaving triggered it in this lifetime?
Yes, absolutely. So she would have had many lifetimes, in past lifetimes, where she would have had abandonment issues. What we do not find the balance in, see, for me, there's no wrong and right emotion. It's purely that the emotion is out of balance. Mm-hmm. So she would have had many, many past lives that she was abandoned or had abandonment issues. And not completing it, coming in with this lifetime, bringing the balance in, carrying it forward, that's where the trigger was in this lifetime. It started at that 8 month old where she just, her mother walked out the door to hang up washing and boof, there you go, it's parts gone, you know. So
do we often repeat patterns?
Yes, 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 many lifetimes.
Why? I would be terribly bored to think that I have to repeat the same nonsense over and over again.
Well, okay, it kind of works that
hey, don't look at me, I'm doing it. So I'm not learning.
So whatever you do not release or whatever it is in the past time, you bring the balance only forward, so you're not doing everything over again. But there have been times, I mean, I had one client that was an African guy. He was an amazing, and we did a past life for him, and he was a white. He says, Janine, that's why I don't fit into my African culture. He says, because when we did the past life, he was white. So, and often what I say to clients, if they're not learning their stuff in this lifetime, they must be careful. They're going to go in the middle of Soweto with no money. They can't see any healers. They can't see anybody who helps them. So when you're not learning the stuff for a long time, it gets worse and worse and worse. Mm. When you start releasing, it gets better and better and better. So that the lessons aren't so harsh anymore.
So how does the wear to fit in with it?
I just like to scare people.
She's got a wicked sense of humor, this one.
I don't work gently, understand? I don't work gently at all.
So where does a scary blaze in your head?
Hey, for a white kid, is.
Well, no, not necessary. I mean, I do house cleansings in Soweto, so I don't have an issue with Soweto.
Okay.
But because the view
the average
is,
white person would go like, oh my God, Soweto, no money, damn.
They see themselves in a little hut with bare feet, no money, for nothing. So how are they going to get help?
That's probably most South Africans, if you're not, because it's like if you're not used to a space, you're just scared of it. If you're not used to people, you're just scared of them. So.
Sure.
But isn't it that we've all been black, white, male, female, gay, straight, rich, poor, everything?
Absolutely.
So why
murderers, prostitutes,
perpetrators,
rapists,
and victims.
Exactly, everything. We've all been.
So
all of them.
Why would it be, and I understand in the South African context, where we are so race obsessed, it might be a shock for a black guy to find out he's been white before. But I mean, why would people find it strange if they believe in the idea of past life?
You see, they do, but. So this particular client was born in Soweto, and anyway, so he was born in Soweto. So he had, although he believed in past lives, he didn't probably ever thought he was white. You with me? Mm. So when we did the past life and he was white, he goes, it just makes so much sense. But I mean, I personally have done 70 past life regressions already, and every single time I do a past life, it almost adds a little bit extra to the puzzle. Mm. That's what I call
a beautiful
puzzle.
Dimension.
Absolutely. Yeah. It just brings so much clarity on a whole lot of other stuff in your life that's going on. Mm. You know, oh wow, that fits in there, and that's why this is happening, and that. So yeah, so for me they're amazing. If I could do one every week, I would do one every week. The guy that I was doing them with, those not in the town anymore for a couple of years, so I'm a little bit stuck with that.
Do you know that Brian Weiss?
Yes.
He does. He has some spaces where he goes like, you can do this, get yourself in a safe space, and let me walk you through, and it's like half an hour, and you can actually do it on your own. I did it on my own one day. I was like, that was so cool, but I'm never going to do it again.
Okay. Why not?
Why not? Because you know what? When you don't know something, there's that excitement of, you know, but now when you've experienced something, there's knowledge of, do I want to really go find it? And this was not even... this was very unthreatening, and I learned something. I actually went to Wikipedia to go and find out, because I was like, nah, that country, nah. And then it was like, yes.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I went and verified the information. But it was just that sense of, oh my God, what am I still capable of?
Of course.
It was wonderful to do it, but that fear of what can I still do. It's almost like when they say to you, you don't perform because you're scared of your own greatness.
Yes.
It's that kind of thought pattern where you go, oh, I've seen how wonderful that can be. So what if it doesn't happen again?
So I want to ask you something, Janine, but I also want to ask Charmaine something. So Charmaine,
go for Charmaine.
Are you scared that you'll do it again and find out you were someone horrible like, God forbid, Hitler? Or are you scared that you would go out and be someone magnificent like Joan of Arc? And then, Janina, what I want you to answer later is, why do most people who have these past life experiences come back, and every
always
bloody
amazing
single one was Marie Antoinette or some hot shot?
Sorry,
and then never hear anyone say, I was the servant. But hold up, Charmaine?
Mm-hmm. I have never had illusions of such grandeur about who I was in a previous lifetime. But I probably because I, when I started getting aware of these things, I started to find out that I was normal. I mean, I remember one in particular, I was a teacher. So the other one, I was it's one of those kids that got thrown away because, you know, there was like sexual relations with a traveler, and that was incredible. because I couldn't understand, because I saw then the family that I was in, and I looked completely different. Yes. But as in completely different. Yes. And I was like, who is that? So, and then I could identify those people, who they are in my life now. Yes. So I know them. And then the other one I was like a fisherman kind of thing. So all of mine that I'd experienced were regular people. Yes. So, but I mean, I don't have illusions of grandeur. I'm not here to be grand. I'm here to experience. I'm like on a, you know, I never thought I'm Joan of Arc. I mean, maybe a soul particle. Am I one of her soul particles?
Absolutely.
So, Janine, why do people...
No, okay. I've had very little of that. So, to be very honest, I've had quite a few that are royalty, but we don't go into who the royalty is. For me, the most important thing about a past life is releasing. There's a lot of people that go into a past life, see who they've been, and then they come out. And so what is how does
and
that affect your life
they
today?
Are still that person.
Yeah, but that's crazy. So
what is the need for going there then? No, why
let
would
me
we?
Tell you, spirit doesn't raise our vibrations and they drop theirs so that we can connect, so that we can, you know, have a cup of coffee or just chat or see who we've been. So what I do in my past lives, and I know I'm one of the very few in the country that works this way that I'm aware of, is that I go and I release in the past life and I bring it back into current time and release in the current time as well.
Oh, you have to explain that.
Okay. So to give you an example, but just of a situation, I had one client. They were a married couple. She had been gang raped by 5 men. Two of them she didn't know in her past life. Two of them were ex-fiancés of hers, and one was her current husband.
And this was all in a past life?
This was all in a past life. So when we were finished the past life, I'm still sitting there going, So I said, now I'll go home and kill your husband. You can just walk in and go, no, it's all good. She went, no, she's all good. And also when I do the releasing, the other person that it is, be it your husband, your mother, your whoever it is, it takes me an extra 5-10 minutes to release and clear them from the same situation. So she went home, and this guy started, because now he didn't have the guilt of all the rape stuff. We'd cleared that. So now he started, and they're an elderly married couple, or they've been married for 30 years somewhat, and now he started courting her again, sort of taking her for dinner, buying her flowers, doing all this amazing stuff. And why? Because he wasn't now married to her from a guilt point. He was married to her because now he actually loved her.
Yeah.
So we often do things like that in past times, where we guilty. I mean, the amount of people I have that their children manipulate the crap out of them purely why? Because they can, because they let them die in a past life, they couldn't save them. A lot of that kind of stuff. So I don't have many Marie Antoinettes and that kind of thing. I have real life. I mean, the one guy, his first past life, is a very wealthy guy. And his first past life, he saw himself as a boy with rags walking in the street with no shoes and starving to death. And that was... He only believed the past life because that. He said, if I was some king or some this, he says, I wouldn't have believed the past life. Hmm. So I deal more with normal people.
Yeah.
There are some, but not the majority. No, not at all.
Have you ever done this? Have you ever gone there?
I've had a spontaneous regression, but I only saw little snippets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this fanciful idea as a teenager. It's a whole long story. But I somehow got this idea that I was in Ireland in a past life. Mm-hmm. And so many small little things happened to reinforce that idea.
Yes, yes.
And my husband and I went to Belfast, because it was in Belfast.
Awesome.
Well, I need to ask you, you know, how do we
getting all the goosebumps. That one's for sure correct.
How do we know we're not bullshitting ourselves? So what happened was, we went to Belfast.
Yes.
And not only did I run into Gerry Adams and stopped him, and his security personnel almost had a cadenza because, you know, IRA... weird people want to kill him. I got his signature. But I also looked up, we were in the Catholic Quarter, and I looked up to the street. It was just a gentle slope, and I saw a place, and this I can't believe I'm saying this. I saw the place where I was killed.
You know,
I was in the IRA. Well,
yes,
do we know we're not bullshitting ourselves?
You know, there will always be something. It's like sometimes I have clients who are doubtful. And when we come out the room, there's always a question that I can ask them, which they will say, no, I never ever thought that, or never ever thought of thinking that, or never ever knew that I would be experiencing that or seeing that or whatever. So there's always some way. It's not many times, but often. I mean, it's not often, but some clients do. They go, maybe that was just my imagination or something. I go, no. There's always something. There'll be a question I ask them after that past life that they go, no, I would never ever have thought of myself as that or whatever it is. So, and you definitely have been to Ireland in the IRA or whatever, because
I'm
said that
haunting.
I went totally, totally goosebumps right up to the top of my head. So that's absolutely a confirmation from spirit.
You know, she did something to me now that she knows I hate.
Yes.
Right. I ask questions. I do not particularly like sharing my own story.
Let's share. You know, you give me some, I give you some. You give me flowers, I give you a piece of my heart. How about that?
And then next lifetime you come back to me, Janine, please come fetch all that crap down the road, right?
But, you know, it's. I find this very interesting. The very first time I went to... I stepped foot in Germany. I nearly shat myself. I was at the airport. I was like, I must go back immediately. You know, and I didn't get out of the airport. I just went back. Then eventually I lived in Holland for a while. And I lived like 10 minutes away from the border. Every time I went to Germany, I hated it. Every time I stepped back into Holland, I was like, oh, thank God I'm home. but seriously, it was the weirdest. I would never go to Germany unless it was necessary. We would go like, let's go to Belgium, because everyone is like just down below. And I'm like, yes, we're going to Belgium. Yeah. Germany now, you guys go. I'm fine. So
there's,
up until
absolutely,
today.
There's absolutely a past-life relation to that. They will.
And, I know. I mean, I see bits of pieces, and that gets me. And I've not been there, and it triggers. And I know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's quite Diana. So that, you know, for another lifetime.
So how do you take people into a regression? Do you hypnotize them? Do you use hypnotherapy?
I don't. Okay, so it is in actual fact called hypnosis, but I don't like calling it hypnosis. I actually want to take it off my business cards, because people have this whole idea that you run around with a chicken with no clothes, etc., and you don't remember anything. But in reality, even daydreaming is self-hypnosis. So I just call it a mild meditation. So I take them up to a point, and from there they start telling me what they see. And then we start going, and then I start finding the trauma points in that time. Then we do the release work, and then I bring them back to this time with the same person. Well, I ask them to, you know, if the person is in that time, I say, who is that in your current time? And then we do the release work with that as well. Mm-hmm. So that's how I do past lives.
I find it so fascinating that you can identify who that is and who they were.
Do we always bring the same people, significant people?
Generally, yes, unless, and I've only found this with about 5 clients that I've had that basically have got kicked out of their soul group because they're not learning enough fast enough. I mean, they also
I think that's very, very, if you look at it like a school situation, and reincarnation is, you know, coming back to grade one
school,
again, because you have to redo that lesson. You know, at some point the friends are going to get a bit hurtful and say, you
that's
know,
exactly.
go somewhere else.
Exactly.
So they send them to remedial.
Soul remedial.
Remedial is not a good place.
Hey, sounds like purgatory.
I know. It's like, now I've got all that information, I'm sitting here and I have to relearn stuff. Oh, that must be frustrating. So what happened to those people? Don't they become the meanest
No, not at all. No, what happens is they fit in nowhere.
But
their family, they don't feel comfortable. They don't feel they know the family. They don't feel they know the friends. They know nobody.
But
they
wouldn't
are
that
totally
make you mean? That would make me so
angry. Well, the ones I met haven't been mean. They're just confused as to why it's so, you know, whatever, you know, so lonely and so abandoned.
So how do you help them along?
Well, I help them by starting to help them to release the stuff that they're needing to release, because obviously it's because they haven't learned, you know. So we start releasing the stuff that they're hanging on to and not letting go and not letting go and not letting go, and that's why they've been booted out. But that's only been 5 clients over all the years I've been doing this that I've experienced that with. But so it's what, not often.
What could be so desperate that you hold on to it for so long? What kind of thing?
Stubbornness. Ego.
Really?
So ego is a little bit of a thing. So, because for me, I see ego as a very good thing. It's a thing that moves energy forward. It's the... not aggressive.
Catalyst for growth.
There's another word. Arrogance. The arrogance that I see as not the great thing. Where everybody, in my opinion, everybody's calling ego, for me it's arrogance, they're calling it ego. It's absolutely not. I think ego is a very good thing. Okay. It moves you forward, it gets you going, it does a whole lot of good things for you. Right. So for me it's their arrogance that keeps them and their stubbornness from not learning the stuff that they need to learn at the time.
Yeah, but what that's okay. So what would make you that arrogant that you think, no, I'm not going to learn that.
I'm not going to learn that. One day, just off topic quickly, I
usually die of a
off topic. Off topic. No, you know what? The English do that with the O sometimes. The posh English, they go instead of dog, they go dog. Very English. Your English is growing.
Off topic then. One day when I'm big, I want to write a book in defense of ego. You know, as you said, everybody views ego as this negative, but our egos are what keeps our souls inside our bodies.
Exactly.
It's just positioning it because the way I see it, okay? Mm-hmm. And one day when the book is out, you all go out and buy it and read it. I'll set it up properly. But the way I see it, your ego is kind of like the secretary of Liesl Inc.
Sure.
And it has to make all the arrangements and do things. And without ego, we would never have drive and ambition.
Sure.
But we make, or the danger is, and that's where the arrogance comes in, is to make ego the CEO of whoever is.
So you shouldn't be the CEO, he should be the gatekeeper. Is that what I'm hearing?
The ego, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know, I'm just...
I'm agreeing with you.
You can read my book.
I don't.
I'll so read your book, you know, and I'll even tweet you on at Liesl Tom. And while you add it, you can tweet me back at Jumaine H.
You know. Nice one slipped in. So if you want to get hold of us, you can send us tweets. Jumaine has got this drive to get people to connect with us because we want to know what you guys want to listen to. Janine, soul contracts.
Yes.
How does that work?
Okay, so again, because I don't work gently, the
I'm coming to you.
the example that I always give my clients is, say for instance, I've had 20, 30 past lives, and I'm just not learning my crap, right? And then I go, because we come once as female, male, female, male, female, so that's how we come down. So on a soul level, soul is unconditional love. So me on a soul level, I go to, say you come to me and you say, you know, Janine, need to be raped in this time, please, because I haven't learned my crap now for 20 lifetimes. Please, and I say, oh, you know what, Charmaine, that one's a little bit hectic. And you go to me, please, please, I love you so much, I want you to do this for me, right? And I go, okay,
sure.
So
that's hectic.
Yeah, but that's
like
how
that's
how it happens.
Neil Donald Walsh, remember I told the story once about when you like in at your soul space in wherever before you get incarnated, mm-hmm. and you make that specific contract where you go like, and then the other one said, and every time I think of this, I get so freaking teary, it just cracks me up. And then the other one says, okay, I'll do that for you, but remember, when I do that for me, that you will remember that I'm not that horrible person, mm-hmm. but that I came in to assist you.
Yes.
So I just every time I hear that, it blew my mind. Hey, it's kidding, but it blew my mind. So that every time I see somebody now who does something really wicked to me, I go, I'm gonna get over this one day. But thank you, because obviously I asked you for it, so that I don't see you just as mean.
Exactly.
But it's the craziest thing to even think about it.
And from my point, the soul that is doing the rape, I mean, say you get raped, your family is upset and everything, but eventually you get a boyfriend, your dad says, I'll kill you if you hurt her, and her husband comes, the same thing. Mm. But the rapist, he gets locked in a 3x4 jail cell. I had a cop one day who corrected me on all the sizes and everything in the years. So he gets locked in a 3x4 jail cell for 25 years. Mm. He gets raped, sodomized, whatever. Every single day, there's no rules. Mm. Okay? Stabbed within an inch of his life. Then, but also, first of all, coming from society where we're all free to go and stay in this little thing where if you crap, sleep, eat, sneeze, whatever, it's all controlled. So their life changes hugely. If they come out of jail one day, maybe 90% of them choose to go back because they know and understand the life inside. Mm. And then those that decide to stay out, they'll never have a wife, they'll never have kids. So one day when they're busy dying, they're dying on the street all alone, and people are stealing the clothes off their body, and all the humiliation of that. So the rapist's life is way, way, way more bad or unfair in my opinion than what mine would be as the victim of the rape.
Well, in this scenario, but yes. I mean, I was a crime reporter for very long, so I know that that scenario only plays out once in every 1,000 cases or whatever.
Sure,
I'm not quoting stats.
Sure, no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Can we then say that the people who hurt us most are absolutely part of our soul cluster?
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And then also, how then, because I'm still on that rapist bit, how then do you, because you decided that's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you decided that's, because I believe we all come in and with prior knowledge. Okay, we might change the script every now and again, but how then do you, I don't know, see, now I've got a lack of
too many things on your mind, Gorgani.
I'm losing the train of thought. There was something that was.
Thank goodness that wasn't me for today. So far.
I told you I get those moments, and it's age-induced. So we're not supposed to feel sorry for ourselves. So we do this because we came in. But is there at any point that you can decide? I'm not going to be the rapist anymore. Somebody else can do it.
Well, yes, because then you're learning your stuff. So the whatever the rapist is, because at the same time, the rapist is also learning stuff, understand? Okay. So it's not just, but yes, he can change and then start changing his stuff so that he's then learning more of his stuff, whatever he needs to learn. You know what I mean? Because the lessons always go both ways. They're not, never, ever just one way. I mean, a lot of healers say, oh, I'm teaching you this, I'm teaching you that. We are always, with every single client, we are learning from every single client at the same time.
Hmm. Absolutely.
It's
as a life
never
coach, I find that my clients
do
me the hugest favor.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because exactly of that.
Absolutely.
Now, I found that taking responsibility for the crap is extremely liberating.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
But why are people so reluctant to say, I chose this, this is for me, and I will deal with the consequences.
It's much easier to blame than to take responsibility. You know, the minute that you start looking at you and go, you know what, geez, I stuffed up here and I messed that and I did that, it's hard. It's hard for people to do that. But to go, oh, you know, that person caused me to do this. Oh, that's easy. That's very easy. But in that, then, there's always that mirror thing as well. So the minute somebody is sort of standing in front of you and lies to you and you go, this motherfucker, I think I'm an idiot, you know, then you have a lying within you. So then take responsibility. I find that when I mock my forms and people say, no, I don't lie, and I go, guys are very clear, you're lying, dude.
Everybody lies.
they won't.
That's already a giveaway.
So what I've got to say to them is if you're not lying at other people, then where are you lying to yourself? Then that they can kind of grab onto. But there's one or two of the emotions that people aren't willing to take responsibility for, if you want to, you know, call it that.
Shows up our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to be weak.
No,
and we're
not
we're supposed to be perfect and have everything right.
Yes, we are. Yes. Because that's why we are here. Because we have no lessons to learn. We just have to make other people feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
So what is the significance? Why are people so obsessed nowadays with doing past life regressions?
I think, you know what, many people didn't believe it for many years, right? A huge majority of people. I mean, there's still huge that don't. But what is happening since about 2006, there's been many children born. I mean, I'm sitting with about 12 clients that are 6 and 7 years old, and they are remembering past lives. So that is very much coming in. If you YouTube, there's that little boy who identified his murderer at 3 years old. I think it's becoming so much in the public
eye. Boy? I must go find that YouTube video. I need information when you're done. Yeah,
it's on my Morningstar Facebook page.
Okay,
the story is posted up there. It's a YouTuber, and he said that he was born in that town. Of course, nobody believed him originally, but then he went back and he showed them, and he said that's where my body was thing. They dug it up. They found the body. And he said, that's where the axe was. And when they found out, the boy was 3. And when they found out, it was 4 years ago where the man who was murdered disappeared. And nobody had ever seen him again. Mm. And he identified the human who killed him. They found where the axe was, everything. So for me, it's so that we can start connecting more to our crap so that we can release it. From 2012, it's a shifting. We're shifting into totally new energy. Mm. We cannot be dragging all our crap into the new energy. It's impossible. We're heading closer to God's vibrational energy. So you can't be dragging mountains and mountains of shit with you. You've got to release. And I think that's why there's such a big thing in the alternative healing, the past life regressions, all of that stuff.
And is that also why we need to find our soul fragments and reintegrate them?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. I don't have any more questions for you.
She is lying. She has a million and one questions, but we are so close to the end that she said if the two of you get talking that we're going to run over and then Elsa is going to hit us with a stick.
No, but you know, also what I did want to say is, in closing, because this is going to take much less than me asking you and you doing that. Yeah. What I did learn was I watched a movie mm-hmm. recently. Mm-hmm. Opened my eyes up on many different levels, not for the movie, but for the info for what it said, what the title said to me.
Yes.
It was called Collateral Beauty. I told Liesl mm-hmm. about it,
mm-hmm.
and a year ago, for a long time, things just didn't go right. Mm-hmm. But last year, everything was flattened, okay? Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, I'm just going to die of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shifted. Everything shifted. Mm-hmm. After everything was done and I had no control, everything shifted. Mm-hmm. And I was just like left with such devastation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw from that, you know, that beautiful ashes thing that the Bible speaks about, you know? God gives you beautiful ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, this, what I'm experiencing and seeing in terms of the life, that I'm living,
mm-hmm.
it is, you cannot believe that something beautiful can come out of such pain, but you have to be able to put in the work, and you must, if
Absolutely.
Somebody says, I'm going to help you, grab that hand and say, okay, I'm going to take that.
Sure. And that's where my sessions with my clients are very good, because I give you the tools that you can use for the rest of your life to assist you in releasing. I mean, for me, that the whole of last year was a pure, you had to release every flippant thing under the sun. And this year, it's a number one year, so it's not as bad, but it's all about self. So it's again, release, release, release. When clients say, Janine, all crap's eating, I go, release, release, release.
Mm.
That's the biggest two things for now, you know.
And she's losing her words because I'm showing her time out. Janine,
sorry.
Quickly, how can people get hold of you?
My website is www.morningstar-hc.co.za.
Of course, Facebook.
And Facebook, Morningstar HC is the Facebook page. Thank you very much.
Janine Chavez,
thank you so much for
sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us.
Thank you very much.
I learn every week. I had fun. I mean, I can't say that when I come here, I don't have fun. So I hope you at home or wherever you are listening had as much fun as us doing it here. So be good to yourself. I'm Shemaine Harris. Bye now.
And for me, Liesl Tom, take care.
Thanks, Shemaine, Liesl. CliffCentral.com.